Whenever we think of living in this world, we sooner or later remember that we could be Christians. And when our children are growing up and we wonder how it's going to turn out with them, we like to think they could be Christians. No matter what anyone's circumstances may be, someone may be poor, may be crippled, may be unfortunate, and we feel very sorry for them and are sympathetic with them, we're glad to know and to remember that that one could be a Christian. Being a Christian is a wonderful possibility. It's derided by some, we know. There are some people that will openly just say they don't want to be Christian. And it's admired by many, undoubtedly. But apart from what human beings may personally think about it one way or another, the name Christian is one of the great names in the world. And as you think about it, you are impressed by the idea that anybody can be a Christian. Any age, old or young, any class, rulers or servants, masters and slaves, any race, white, brown, black, and on the level of any prestige, emperors, kings, noblemen, farmers, day servants, kitchen workers, anybody can be a Christian. And yet nobody in himself is able to be one. There is no human being on earth in his own strength or in his own wisdom can be a Christian. In order to be a Christian, we shall find, as we read and study in the book of Acts, that such persons must receive the Holy Spirit. Something happens to them when God Himself comes to live in them. And when they receive the Holy Spirit, we will be reminded when we look at it, this is not something they go out and get. This is not something that they undertake to achieve. This is not something that they put themselves to perform. This is something they receive. In other words, it's something God does to them. In some special way, God gives the Holy Spirit to some human beings on earth. Now, the ways of the Spirit are beyond us, we know. We read in the Bible that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And yet the promise is clear. The Spirit will come, and He will come to those who believe. God sends this Holy Spirit to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way Peter preached in the book of Acts, when he preached these words, "You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And so, apparently, this blessing, whatever is involved in this matter of becoming a Christian, is available for all, for anyone. But again, I want to look more clearly with you at the men, more closely. Look at the men who actually received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. What kind of people were these who became the early Christians, the members of the first of the Christian church at the very outset? And so far in our studies, we have noticed, for one thing, they believed in God. They believed in the God of the Bible. And right there, they differed from a great many people, and something that's very basic and important. In the second place, we noticed that they believed that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. There's no such thing as a person becoming a Christian who doesn't believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, if being a Christian were just a matter of outward conduct, you could describe certain people who are like the Christians, maybe so, but you won't find anyone that you could properly call a Christian who doesn't believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then we noticed just the last time we studied on this matter that these were people who believed that the body of Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, with all that that implies. There is another world than this one. And they saw the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead, so far as this world was concerned, and they saw Him go into the other world. Now, they actually saw that happen. And so far as they are concerned, the whole of being, the universe, has in it at least two worlds. this world that they would call material, and that other world which they would call spiritual, which is just as real. One of them you could call earth, and the other you could call heaven. And so far as these Christians are concerned, they are people who believe that heaven was just as real as the earth is real. And now we shall see that they had another characteristic that I want to bring to your minds today. These men expected the Holy Spirit to come to them. Perhaps they did not know just what this would be like. Maybe they didn't know really what was going to happen. They believed that something would come to pass, that the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy would occur, and that the promise of the Father would come upon them. They expected the Holy Spirit to come. Something would happen to them from beyond, and that something would happen soon. Now, I mention this because you and I might wonder, perhaps, whether this matter of becoming a Christian is a casual thing. Maybe you and I might wonder whether it mightn't just happen to anybody, like lightning strike a person, just happen to him. It isn't quite like that. There needs to be some sort of preparation for it. There will be, and there will be some sort of conditions that need to be met before this thing will happen. As far as the early Christians were concerned, just now we are taking note of the fact they were the kind of people who believed that something was going to happen to them. It was going to happen to them from beyond themselves, from the outside, and it would happen to them soon. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, we read that the Lord Jesus told them, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now they had been given a commission to go into all the world. Now they're to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. So you see, every moment, every day, they were waiting, 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 waiting for something to come to them, to happen to them from the living God. This is very important. If you and I live our life day in and day out with no expectation, we're not looking for anything to happen. We're just going along. Well, you and I can pretty well expect that's the way it's going to be. There'll be nothing happen, and we can just go along. But actually, prior to and before, God will do some great thing. It would look as though He prepares us, and we have an expectation about it. I may remind you that while God did so bless Abraham and Sarah that they gave birth to Isaac after Sarah was beyond the age when women have children, which was a very wonderful thing, that was not done without telling Abraham and Sarah about it. And Sarah herself was told when she heard it, you remember, she laughed. She didn't believe it was ridiculous to her. But the angel told her she needed to know, and she said, "Be it unto me. Here, behold thy handmaiden, be it unto thee, unto me as thou wilt." Well, there it is. And of course, everyone will have in mind with reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the virgin birth. Now, the way that story is told in Matthew and in Luke, there's no doubt about it, it's God's idea. And God sent him. And God sent him down to be born of this young girl, this Mary of Bethlehem. No question about that. But it wasn't done with her, shall I say, without her being aware of it. It wasn't done to her, just as it were, without her knowing anything about it. It wasn't something like a lightning just struck her when she wasn't thinking. It wasn't like that. While the coming of Gabriel may have been a surprise to her, and his appearance was probably startling and disturbing to her, he told her that she was going to have this child. She herself didn't see how it was possible. He reasoned with her about it until he gained, as it were, her consent. And she said, "Behold thy handmaiden, be it unto me even as thou wilt." Now that's included in the matter, even of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin. Something like that happens with Christians. If you and I are going to receive a blessing from God, there will be given to us some intimation from God that this is going to come. There'll be some word spoken to us that will give us an idea that this is going to come. At any rate, let me indicate to you right here, so far as these people were concerned, they were expecting something. They were waiting for something. And I am very much impressed with the idea that if any of us in Christian life are going to really receive something from the Lord, there will need to be this expectation, this sense of a promise that specially applies to us. In the book of Acts, in the first chapter, in the 8th verse, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." So while they may not have known what the coming of the Holy Ghost was like, they knew it would happen. They knew the Old Testament prophecies, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." And they knew John the Baptist preaching when he talked about the coming of Messiah and said about him, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." They knew that, but they knew more than that. They knew, in addition to the fact that the Old Testament prophecies said this would happen, and John the Baptist said it would happen from Christ, they had been definitely briefed, they had been told by the Lord Jesus himself. For instance, in the Gospel of John, in the 14th chapter, in the 16th verse, we read words like this. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." The Lord went on to say, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me." This promise had been made to them. In verse 26 of the 14th chapter of John, we read, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." They were expecting the Holy Spirit to come. And again in chapter 15, verse 26, these words, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father." So they expected the Holy Spirit to come to them. And in the 16th chapter, in verse 7, there's a remarkable statement. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So let me say to you today just this idea, that in order to be one of those who can be receiving the Holy Spirit and enter into the fullness of Christian experience, there will need to be on our part this understanding about the Holy Spirit and this expectation of the Holy Spirit. We need to be thinking God's going to do something to us. God's going to do something for us. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us in this matter. Give us the grace to believe it. Help us to understand thy scriptures so that we can understand in thy word how the promise is given. And open our hearts and minds to the thought that thou wilt come to be with us. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.